Our text for this evening is verse number 34 of John's Gospel in the chapter number 19. Let me just read that verse with you again. It says, "But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water." Our Bible reading this evening tells us something of the treatment that the Lord Jesus Christ received during his crucifixion. As he hung upon the cross of Calvary, he cries out, "I thirst." And in response to this, we see from the chapter how his tormentors take a sponge, filled it with vinegar, and they put it to his mouth to quench his thirst. And then he cries out again, "It is finished." And following that, the Bible says, he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, and he dies. And now, being the day before the Jewish Sabbath, Jewish law demanded that the body of Christ and the two malefactors who were crucified with him, the law demanded that such should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. And to speed up the process of death and to allow the bodies to be removed before the Sabbath, we see how the Jews, they beseeched Pilate that the legs of those who are crucified might be broken to speed up the process of death itself. Look at verse 31 of the chapter there. It says, "The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away." Following that, we see how the legs of the two malefactors were broken. In verse number 32, it says, "Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him." However, whenever the soldiers come to the Lord Jesus Christ, they see that he is already dead, and they break not his legs. Look at verse number 33 of the chapter. It says, "And when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs." And following that, in the words of our text, in verse 34, it says, "But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water." And by that spear was to pierce into the very heart of Christ. For around the heart is a membrane containing a watery fluid, hence the flowing here of the blood and the water. The flowing here of the blood and the water shows us that the Savior had not long died. For had his flesh been cold, these fluids would have clotted and congealed, and the effusion of the blood and the water would not have occurred. His side was pierced, his heart was pierced. And the piercing here of the side of Christ is only recorded for us in the Gospel of John. And my, it shows to us something of the awful abuse that Christ received in his body from the hands of sinful men. Yes, it shows to us something of that awful pain and anguish that he received as he suffered and bled and died upon the cross. But my, it also reminds us of some very important lessons in the gospel. And friends, it is those lessons I want us to consider this evening for a little while. From the piercing of the heart of Christ on the cross of Calvary. First of all, I want you to see this evening that the piercing of Christ reminds us of the awful shame of sin that was involved in our Savior's death. Verse 34 says, "But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water." Who was this person who received this wound to his heart from the spear of the Roman soldier? This person was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, the Lord of glory. Who was Jesus Christ? He was sinless. The Bible tells you how he went about doing good. how he healed the sick, how he raised the dead. Yet the Bible also tells us how he willingly gives himself up to die an accursed death upon the Roman cross. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And after all the initial sufferings on the cross from the hands of evil and ungodly men, this Roman soldier, in one final act of hatred, in one final act of malice and barbarity, he thrusts his spear into the very side of Christ. And by this final wound, it shows to you and I the awful shame of sin. It shows to you and I the awful depravity that exists in the heart of sinful man. The fact that this soldier should go to Christ when he was already dead and pierce his side and his heart through with his spear and with his lance, it shows to the awful depths of depravity of sin in the heart of man. Yes, it has rightly been said that sin defiles man and defies God. And friends, that is true. Sin defiles man. And you know, just as this soldier here was guilty of this awful sin and shame and depravity of sin and piercing the side of Christ, so you and I also are equally guilty of the awful of shame of sin and of iniquity. You see, the Bible says of you and I and all the rest of mankind, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The Bible says, for there is none righteous, and no, not one. And speaking of mankind, the Bible says, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. How awful is the shame and the depravity of sin in the sight of God. You turn in your Bible back there to Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, and to the verses 21 to 23. The Lord Jesus is speaking there about man's heart and the sin and the shame of sin in that heart and the definement of that sin. And this is what he says in verse 21 of Mark chapter 7. He says, from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. And there Christ speaks of the defilement of sin in the heart of man. Dear friends, in the meeting tonight, you and I are also guilty of that same awful sin, shame of sin and the defilement of sin and the depravity of sin. Yes, we're all guilty of the same sin in thought and in word and in deed. And friends, it is because of that awful shame of sin that you and I need to be saved tonight. That you and I need to be born again of the Spirit of God. Oh, as you think of the piercing of Christ, you see the shame of sin. Friend unsaved, it's because of that shame of sin that you need to be saved from your sin and be made right with God. Yes, the piercing of Christ reminds you of the shame of sin. But something else this evening, secondly, we can also say that the piercing of Christ, it reminds us of the certainty of Christ's death. Verse 34 says, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. These words prove to you and I that Christ actually died. Christ did not swoon or faint as the enemies of the gospel would try to say or imply. The Bible speaks of Christ and it says, he hath poured out his soul unto death. In verse 33 of the chapter there before you, it says, he was dead already. And again, if you go down to verse 42, the last verse in the chapter, there you read of him being buried in the tomb of Joseph Arimathea. says, there led thee Jesus, therefore, because of the Jewish preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand again. That's further proof that he had died. And our text is but a confirmation of that very same truth, that Christ literally died. It says, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. My, no one could ever survive and live with such a wound. It proves the certainty of the death of Christ. And you might ask the question this evening, why is the death of Christ and the sacrifice of Christ so important? Why is it so important? Well, it has been rightly said that the death and the sacrifice of Christ are the keystone of the gospel. You know anything about building, you'll know that a keystone is so important, be it the building of a house or a bridge. It holds the whole edifice together. You take away the keystone, and the bridge or the building, whatever it is, will fall. And friends, the death and the sacrifice of Christ are the keystone of the gospel. Why? Because by his death and by the shedding of his blood, Christ made atonement to God for sin. He satisfied the demands of God's law against the sinner. Romans chapter 5 and the verse number 11. Paul rejoiced in the atoning work of Christ. He says there, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. You see, God's law rightly demands that the sinner must die for his sin, whoever he is, whoever she is. The law of God says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It says, the wages of sin is death. But by his death, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ as a substitute for sinners, what did Jesus do? He purchased eternal life for all who will trust him as Savior. The Bible says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Did not the Lord Jesus Christ say, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. My friend, this evening, if Christ had not died, there could be no resurrection. There could be no eternal life. There could be no heaven. There could be no deliverance from hell and the wrath to come. But praise God, Christ has come. And Christ has died. And Christ has rose again from the dead. Hence the Bible declares the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friend, if you are to be saved from the wrath to come, if you are to be sure of heaven, if you are to be resurrected unto life eternal, then you must come by faith to Christ as a repentant sinner. You must trust in Christ and in his blood and sacrifice alone for your salvation. By the Bible says, he that have the Son have life. He that have not the Son of God have not life. His piercing, yes, shows the awful depravity of sin. His piercing, yes, it shows to us that the certainty of his death, that he died to purchase eternal life for all who will trust him. You know, we can also say this evening, in the third place, that the piercing here of Christ, that it reminds you of the very purpose of his death. Look again at our text. It says, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Notice the mention there of the blood and the water. It shows to you that the double effects of the death of Christ. You see, Christ's precious blood is the price that was paid to God for the sinner's redemption and for the remission and the forgiveness of all of his sins. You see, the person who trusts Christ as Savior has their sins forgiven by God. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. David was one who trusted the Lord as a Savior. He knew the forgiveness of all of his sins through the blood of Christ. In Psalm 103, he could say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgiveth all thine iniquities." Christ shed his blood to purchase remission, pardon for sin for all who will trust him. And then mention is made here also of the water. And that signifies to us the regenerating and sanctifying power of God the Holy Spirit. You see, whenever a person comes to trust Christ as Savior, the Lord gives them power to repent of their sin and to live for the glory of God day by day. Paul spoke of that very purpose in the life of God's church, whom Christ has redeemed. When he says, "Christ also have loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by his word." Oh, listen to the words of Paul as he writes to Titus in Titus chapter 2 in the verse 14. He speaks of Christ. And he says, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, as zealous of good works." He came to provide a way for the forgiveness of sins. But he also came and he suffered and bled and died to make provision to be delivered from the very power and bondage and fetters of sin. Let me make it very clear this evening that there's no such thing as a person being saved and going on living for sin as they used to. That's not God's salvation. Christ never came to save a people so that they could go on living for sin and go on living in rebellion to God and His Word. No, Christ came, the Bible says, to save His people from their sins. The Bible says, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Oh, my friend, this evening, realize this, that Christ died on the cross so that all your sins, yes, could be forgiven and pardoned before Almighty God and blotted out. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. But He also died on the cross that you could be delivered from the power and the bondage and the tyranny and the dominion of sin in your life. Did not Jesus Christ say in the Gospel of Luke regarding the Father sending Him into this earth, "He has sent me to preach deliverance to the captives. He's come to set the prisoner free." Friend, in our meeting tonight, if you're to know your sins forgiven, if you are to know the power and the dominion of sin broken in your life, then you must come as a repentant sinner to Christ. You must trust in Him who suffered and bled and died alone upon the cross for your salvation. Oh, you follow tonight, I urge you, the example of the hymn writer. And what did he say of Christ? He said, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power." Friend, that's what Christ has come to do. To deliver you, yes, from the guilt of your sin, but also to deliver you from the power and the bondage of sin. Christ has come to set you free. That's the purpose of Christ's death. That's the purpose of His blood being shed. Tell me, have you come to Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and that the power and the dominion of sin might be broken in your life? Oh, yes, the purpose of His death. We see the certainty of His death, the awful shame of sin in His death. But one final thing I want you to notice from our text tonight. The piercing of Christ, it reminds us of the plan of Christ's death. Look again at our text. Notice what it says in verse 34. It says, "But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water." As you read that and read the other verses surrounding it, I want you to realize this evening that Christ's death was no accident. It was all planned by a loving God, God the Father, before the very foundation of this world. It was all in the plan of God. You remember the message of Peter as he preached on the day of Pentecost about Christ. He said, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. It was all planned in God's love. And all the events regarding His crucifixion, they happened in accordance with God's word. In accordance with God's plan. You look at verse number 33 there, it says, They break not His legs. That was all in accordance with God's plan and God's word. For look at what John says in verse number 36 regarding that matter. Said, For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And it was prophesied in the Old Testament that not one bone of Christ would be broken in his crucifixion. In Psalm 34, David said, Of God he keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. And by the type of the Passover lamb, it was also prophesied. When God said to Moses about that Passover lamb, Neither shall ye break a bone thereof. This was planned of God, the fact that his legs were not broken. But something else, the very piercing of his side that we've looked at tonight in our text, that too was planned of God. It says there, one of the soldiers pierced his side. That was in the plan and the purpose of God. Go down to verse number 37 of the chapter. Notice what it says. And again, another scripture saith, notice it, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And that's a reference to the prophecy of Zechariah when he speaks of Christ and the cross and he says, They shall look on him whom they have pierced. It was all planned of God. All planned in the purpose of God's love. Yes, the crucifixion of Christ was no accident, and it proves to us that the crucified Christ was the true Messiah, the true Savior of sinners. My John here, he bears record of this very fact. Why? So that sinners like you and I might believe on Christ and trust Him as our Savior. For look at what John says in verse 35 of this same chapter. He says, And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true. Notice the purpose of this record. That ye might believe. It was all planned in the purpose of God that sinners like you and I might believe on Christ. Trust Him as Savior. Oh friend, the whole purpose of Christ being crucified and being pierced in accordance with God's word and God's will is so that you and I would believe on Christ and trust Him as our Savior. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Friend, if you are to be saved, my, you must come in faith and in repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must trust Him as your Savior. You must believe in Him as your Redeemer. And can I say to you tonight that if you do not trust this same Jesus, who suffered and bled and died, whose side was pierced, if you reject Him, and if you die in your sins, you can never be in God's heaven. You'll be lost forever in a lost sinner's hell. Turn back to John's Gospel, chapter number 8. You'll see that very clearly for yourself. Look at what Jesus says in verse 24. In John's Gospel, chapter 8. He says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, don't believe me as Savior, he says. Ye shall die in your sins. And what of those who die in their sins? Look at what the Lord says at the end of verse 21. He says, And ye shall die in your sins. And whether I go, ye cannot come. You reject the Lord Jesus, the same Jesus who was crucified upon the cross of Calvary, who suffered and bled and died, whose side was pierced. If you reject him and you die in your sins, you can never be in God's heaven. You can never know the forgiveness of your sins. You can never be saved from the wrath to come. But my friend, you'll be forever separated and lost from Christ and from God, and a lost sinner's hell in the lake of fire. Friend, this evening was sought to set before you Christ. Christ the Lamb of God. The only Savior. Your only hope of redemption. Your only hope of your sins forgiven. Your only hope of a place in heaven. We have preached unto you Christ crucified. I asked you the question this evening. What are you going to do with him? Pilate asked the question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? To the best of my knowledge, he rejected Christ. He never trusted him. He never accepted him as a Savior. He died in a sin. Friend, don't you follow that example. Believe on Christ tonight. Trust him as your Savior. And accept him for the forgiveness of your sins and the salvation of your soul. And praise God, no matter who you are, no matter what your sin is or your sin has been, the Lord Jesus Christ will save your soul. He'll fit you for heaven. And he will save you for time and for all of eternity. We're going to